The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Clinton Yates, Cyrus Spain, Israel Gutierrez, Frank Isola. Happy New Year, Israel.
Brings it across, sets up Foligno, back to Boldy, shoots, and scores!
This is so the good. BC it's a feel-good Friday. Look
home.
At the family here. Wait for Mom, though. She's coming. Wait for Mom! Please! Hey, Mama, where are you? Mama! There she is! Let's go! Oh, man. Woo! I was getting worried. That's what happens when you get it at home in front of the family.
That was Tony's house the last time the Yankees won the World.
We'll get to it in a second. What a game last night, Celtics-Knicks. The Evan Fournier game. The Fournier explosion! People will be Googling that for life. Also, New York second unit, the comeback, 21-3 run. Tatum had the dagger, non-dagger, but RJ Barrett's game winner is what we're here to discuss. Bing to the bong. Boston has 4 blown leads of 19 or more this year. No one else in our league has more than 2. Frank Isola, better win for the Knicks or worse loss for the Celtics?
The minute that ball banked in from R.J. Barrett, by the way, first buzzer beater for the Knicks since J.R. Smith in 2012. But for the Boston Celtics, you blow a 25-point lead against one of your number one rivals after coming off a loss that you had the other night against San Antonio. And this is what happens every time Boston loses. The theme is they got to break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. This team is completely reeling. That is a game you cannot lose. Like.
Reeling, and Ime Udoka says we need some leadership on the court. Is he right to question that, Frank Isola?
Absolutely, and I think Jason Tatum also acknowledged the fact that when he came into the league right away, he had a lot of success, made it to the conference finals a couple of times, but there was more of a veteran presence on that team, and right now this team is lost in the ocean.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy answer. It seems to be a bigger loss for the Celtics because, as you know, Frank mentioned, they're reflecting on not just things that have gone wrong this season, but on seasons past. This does not seem like sort of a season-changing win for the Knicks necessarily, but it does seem like a serious point for the Celtics to reflect. And this is the fourth time they've lost a game in which they've had a 19-point lead. So it's not something new. And you heard Marcus Smart earlier in the year saying, guys, the two main guys need to pass the ball. You've heard, you know, Ime Udoka just say, we need leadership. There's a lot of things the Boston Celtics need right now, and after half a season or almost half a season, they really haven't seen much of it. So it is that question of, hey, is it time to break these guys up? Because it doesn't seem like this formula is working.
Ara Spain.
Yeah, I mean, the enthusiasm is awesome for a Barrett-banked buzzer-beating bing-bong, but in
yes!
the end, what we're actually going to talk
Bada
about
bing!
And the result of this game is going to be a lot more on the Celtics side of things, because the Knicks still have a lot of work to do despite the win. The Celtics, this could be one of those pivot points. You talked about the giveaways in terms of comebacks. This team is 26th in offensive efficiency in the fourth quarter, 25th in defense efficiency in the fourth quarter, and to that leadership issue, as soon as things start to go wrong, there is nobody out there that is calm, cool, and collected and ready to bring the team together. That includes a coach. So this could end up with breaking everything up. This could end up with firing. So it is a way bigger loss than it is.
And Clinton Yates.
Apparently, I have a different perspective on this because I've heard you guys talk about how the Celtics have been struggling forever, for seasons, for months, and go on and on. Yeah, they're done. Okay, we know that. The Knicks are actually moving in the opposite direction with some level of positivity. That's why this is bigger for the Knicks for me in this particular regard. They had some leadership, if you want to call it that, shown from Randall. You got Tracy Morgan jumping up. It's actually exciting to pay attention to the Knicks. That has nothing to do with the, you know, relative, you know, thoughts of what they think they're going to do, but this team is moving in the right direction. They literally passed them in the standings last night. The Celtics have not figured it out forever, and I'm not expecting them to. The Knicks have a chance. It was bigger.
Well, it depends what week you're talking about. The Knicks have a chance. I mean, it depends what half you're talking about. Julius Randle was thumbs down to the fans in the middle of the game.
Right.
They were asked, how and why were you doing that? And he said, to shut the F up. All right? We've seen this before with the New York Mets, Frank. How big a problem is it that Randle's thumbing down his own fans?
You know, he was the toast of the town last season. And yes, he's catching a lot of the heat for the way that the team has played. It comes with the territory. And the thumbs down was bad enough. He could have cleared up after the game, said, hey, I'm getting caught up in the moment. But to tell the fans to shut up, to me, that's completely crossing the line. What he should do is call the basketball office at Georgetown and talk to the head coach there, Patrick Ewing, about how you handle New York. Because Patrick used to go deep into the playoffs, had been to the finals, and he used to catch a lot of grief. And he handled it a lot better than Julius Randle did last
year. You want to address this? Go ahead.
I mean, it was foul in terms of the word he used, but I thought it showed a lot of fight in terms of what actually happened on the court. It's not the same as the Mets. The Mets were, you know, spiraling in the season. They can't even figure out what's going on in their own clubhouse. If the leader of that team in that position wants to say that and that's what gets him fired up, you better take it, Knicks fans, okay? Again, they won a game against the rival. Let that guy cuss each other people out because, listen, it's not like you're at 4-5. You're at 9-10 thinking about the playoffs. You're going to need every bit of effort you can get.
That hurts me.
Yeah, it's a losing thing for a player to do that, whether it's Javi or Barrett, but it's losing because the fans expect to be able to do and say whatever they want to these players, and then you give them a thumbs down back, and all of a sudden they're up in their feelings. Suck it up and take it. You want to boo your own players while they're trying to go out there and play? Then they want to give you a thumbs up, tell you to shut the F up, then you take it back. And unfortunately, fans will never do that. That's the problem. That's why it's a losing endeavor for them, even if I'm here for it, if you want to do it.
Well, I would say you never want to go full Mets if you're the Knicks. But then again, you're the Knicks at this point. I mean, what are we talking about here?
That's not a good marketing slogan.
We'll be bored. We'll move on. NFL Week 18, Game 17 for the first time ever. The effect it's had on the playoff race and playoff scenarios is about the same. We have one win and in, lose and out scenario where both teams control their own destiny. And it's Sunday night, Raiders-Chargers. Sarah, how will this game be won? How might it be lost? How could it be tied?
Okay. It will be won if Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow can stay as hot as they've been and keep up with Herbert offensively. But it will be lost because the Raiders' D has been absolutely killed by efficient offenses with good quarterbacks, which is exactly what the Chargers have. And it will not be tied because no matter whether you have a handshake, a written down, an in the sky airplane writing agreement, nobody at the end of that game with seconds down is going to actually believe that someone isn't going to take that final
shot. The conversation we've been talking about, right?
Rival.
If Indy loses to Jacksonville, which nobody thinks
trust
is possible,
anyone.
And Pittsburgh beats Baltimore, which that's possible, that these two teams could tie and both would make the playoffs, but you don't believe a team would kneel out in the last
you
second.
You can't
they
trust
would,
your rival.
Yeah. Yeah. Israel Gutierrez, how is this one?
I think it could potentially be a fun game offensively, but, you know, Justin Herbert doesn't really – he plays the best against the teams that don't – that standard rush, if you will, not blitzing. And he sees the most of that of any quarterback and does the best against that. And, frankly, the Raiders are going to have to find a way just to create pressure on Justin Herbert. I see it as the only possible way just based on the way he has been able to handle those types of defenses. And, you know, Derek Carr has been amazing, but he does have that one Hunter Renfrow crutch. And if you kind of take away Hunter Renfrow at this point, I don't really know how much more he's got to go to there. So I think the Chargers.
Right, guys.
I think that Izzy and Sarah, I think they make great points, but there is some emotion going into this game. The last time they played Derek Carr, you know, you had Joey Bosa say, you know, when you hit him, he looks like he gets really shook. Meanwhile, the metrics from a couple of years, that doesn't even really measure out. When he's under pressure, he's just as efficient as any other quarterback. But here's the thing. This game is going to be the first game the Raiders are going to play since John Madden passed away. That is going to be an emotional night in Las Vegas. And here's a team, by the way, that gave $100 million to their coach who couldn't get them into the playoffs. And now you're going to have an interim coach one win away. To me, there's a lot of emotion riding on this game. Right. Don't count out the
Raiders. Have been counted out about 10 different times this season in a comeback. This is the second game because they won last week after the passing of their great coach Madden, Clinton Yates.
Yeah, it wasn't just that their coach couldn't finish the season. He was fired ceremoniously in a huge scandal that definitely affected the team. The emotions are riding high, and I think that's something the Raiders are going to have to utilize to their advantage. Carr is going to have to take some chances. The Chargers are a better actual football team that I think pace themselves better on offense, and Renfrow's got to be a huge part of that. If this game is as indicative of Carr's career as I think it's going to be, he's going to win it. They're at home, and it depends on what they think about this guy going forward. The Chargers are a formidable squad to even be in this position, but I think the Raiders have everything on side. Emotion, home field advantage.
Wait, so you're going with the home team? I'm confused. Who are you picking in this game, Clinton?
Yes. The Raiders have it and need it more.
Rams 49ers. This could be the matchup next week at play here. It's the two seed for LA and San Francisco. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo's hand holds up after his torn ligament, thumb fracture. That was 17 days ago. So that's what we're watching for. Jalen Ramsey acknowledges San Fran's won the last five between these two, but they don't have mind control over us, he says. Clinton, mind control us here. How do you see this playing out?
You know, this is a funny situation, but I think this is one where the defense matters. They've held in the last five wins in a row, they've held teams to under 17 points, which is a huge plus for them in terms of what Aaron Donald does to disrupt quarterbacks. Now, that being said, what I'm most impressed with and what I think the X factor is in this game is going to be the coach of the Rams. That's going to be McVay. He gets a little too cute by a half almost every time he's in a good position. If he can manage to keep that team straight and not goof around and try to fake kicks here or there, you know, take points where he doesn't need to, just play football with your better football players and you win this game.
Spain.
Whenever I think of the mind control in athletes, I think of those hockey players in Strange Brew, which is a deep cut. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's mind-controlled hockey players, and they anyway, it's a beer truck. We won't crash it, eh? Okay, the X factor is going to be the X factor is going to be who's playing quarterback, because that is something that they now have to prepare for both. And if they've got a Trey Lance that they haven't seen a lot of tape on, and that really helps the Niners' running game, that's one thing. If they've got a Jimmy Garoppolo, he eats up that sort of short and intermediate pass middle that the linebackers aren't great at covering on that Rams defense. So the Rams are a better team, but if they have to spend too much time trying to figure out who they're going to be contending with, that could be the X factor. Otherwise, I think Clinton's right. If McVay keeps it simple, they should be able to beat them this time.
San Francisco rolled LA in November, Israel. How does that play into this matchup? And does it really matter? They could face each other next week anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I would call it the G factor, and Jimmy Garoppolo is probably the biggest factor, whether he plays or not. But if you want another factor here, the Niners have five DBs on the COVID list. And they might be, one or two might be able to come back before the game, but they have five currently. And, you know, Matthew Stafford, since week nine, and I don't know if this coincides with his, you know, sort of slide, but since week nine has seen more zone defense than anybody else in the league. And that would be great if the San Francisco can execute that with healthy DBs. So that would probably
be Frank Isola.
The handsome pinata known as Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, is 5-0 against the Rams. But I look at the Rams and the way that they played against the Cardinals, that win that they had on the road, there is a certain belief in this team, and they're going for something. You know, they're going for the number two overall seed. You have Cooper Kupp, what he's doing. Don't forget Aaron Donald, two sacks away from 100 for his career. I think the Rams and the Packers are the class right now of the NFC, and I think they're
Cooper Kupp, if he gets 12 catches and 136 yards, he'd set the we're going to see a lot of records go down because this is the 17-game season, but that's a big one, the receivers. New bad word, new bad phrase, I say, and it was uttered by Mr. Clinton Yates. You don't have to tell us, having said that, you have just, in fact, said that. We'll be back by ourselves.
Record's going down, too.
To remember.
A win record.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The first team, the 30 wins in the NBA. Anybody?
Warriors. Phoenix Suns.
Yes, it's right there on the screen. Well done, Sarah Spain. Does the NBA give awards out for first to 30? They give out awards to everything else except to DeMar DeRozan, who got robbed of Player of the Month last month. But I digress, okay? Some thought the Sun were a fluke last year. Is it possible, Clinton Yates, this year's sun is brighter than last year's sun?
Not only possible, I think it's definitely true. This is, again, a team that has gone through it randomly in the middle of the year with a huge scandal. Monty Williams has managed to keep that thing together. Chris Paul is leading them well. This team plays inside and out better than just much any team in the Western Conference. Ask the Lakers, because they've been beating up on them for the last couple of weeks.
Spain.
Yeah, and it makes sense that they are, because when this initial trade happened, people sort of lambasted it. And instead, after last year, they have the confidence of starting the season knowing that they've got something. DeAndre Ayton has been informed by playing alongside Chris Paul and being given the confidence of being told he can be great. So they're building off of last year, and they are even better.
Is it lambasted or lambasted? I don't know if I know what it is.
No, is it a turkey or a...
Well, yeah, I don't know, but I mean...
Or a ham.
Gisrael Gutierrez, how about you?
I mean, yes, they could be better than last year, just presumably based on continuity and DeAndre Ayton being better. But there's not really much you can do with that, given sort of the craziness of the league and who's been in and who's been out. But Chris Paul, they are 30-8. Chris Paul has played 38 games. Mikal Bridges has played 38 games. Those are two very important players for them. Probably part of the reason why they're the first.
Frank, the first to 30 honor.
Yeah, they do everything well. And last night, they win a game. Devin Booker goes 5 for 22. Don't be hating DeAndre Ayton. Hasn't played for a while. He's been out. And Cam Johnson, by the way, maybe the most underrated player in the league. He's outstanding.
I look forward to asking you guys when it's the first to 31, if you feel the same way. Buy or sell two, Markieff Morris, Nikola Jokic, part 5, are we up to? Morris, who's yet to come back from the suspension injury, but he is coming back soon. Some think he's being unnecessarily dramatic and taking his time. And here's what he posted. It's a real injury. Imagine having a 300-pound sloppy fat boy run full speed and make direct contact with your spine. Israel, is it okay for him to say that? Or you think the NBA wants him to cut that out?
No, I don't think the NBA wants him saying that about the MVP. In the same week's time that Popeye Jones said Nikola Jokic is the perfect guy he wants to bring home to his daughter in any situation, it's an unfortunate injury after that act, but you can't just base it on the result here. Nobody knew it was going to be, you know, a month-long, two-month-long situation.
On somebody, was it a fat, sloppy boy, sloppy fat boy? Is that over the line, Frank?
I think it is, but I think it also speaks to how much a lot of NBA players seem to disrespect Nikola Jokic, who, by the way, is a reigning MVP. Guess what? He is a bit sloppy. He also happens to be a brilliant player, and I do not believe that Markieff Morris is milking this injury. That's a legitimate injury.
Glenn Yates.
Yeah, it's immature, but I don't think it's over the line. But I do think it calls back to the original recklessness of the play. At the time, a lot of people thought that Morris was overplaying this in terms of what it was. Mans hasn't played since. That's a major thing, and the frustration is clear in terms of, like I said, the recklessness that Jokic, you know, showed earlier in the season. Wasn't that cool, man?
Yeah, I've spent time on this very show talking about not body shaming pizza, so I also agree we shouldn't body shame bodies. So yeah, it was too far, but I also don't think he should be criticized for how long he's been out, because he's right. That's a massive person throwing themselves into his back, and he hasn't played since. I think the NBA probably says they don't like it, but I actually think deep down they're here for some of these rivalries that drive interest.
Right, right. They don't play again this season, so I guess we can just sit back on that one for a little bit. Buy or sell three, pooped on by a bird during a match.
A bird relieved itself on the hat of Riley Opelka. Apparently that's good luck.
I'm not wearing that.
But you kind of play with that one.
I'm not wearing another brand. Like, no, there's shit on it, dude.
So the lesson of the day is always have two caps in your kit bag, just in case a bird relieves itself.
That's American Riley Opelka in a tune-up for the Aussie Open. He's in Melbourne. Did they adequately get to the bottom of that, Sarah?
First of all, among the things we get told are good luck, just so that we don't think it's as terrible as it is definitely getting pooped out by a bird. That ain't good luck. Also, this guy's attitude was terrible. I get it. It's not ideal. Put some water on it. Rub it off with a towel until they can get you another hat and suck it up. People play sports with, like, a finger lost. I think we can deal with a little bird.
Real?
I mean, one time it's not great to know all the rules. This chair umpire, knowing that these logos were way too big or had way too many of them, it's like nobody watching this tennis match was going to be up in arms about that situation right there. Go ahead and let the guy play with a non-pooped-on hat.
What a load of you-know-what. Tennis, especially at this level, is all about bathroom breaks. The bird took one, for crying out loud. Just take a bathroom break, retreat to the locker, and put a hat on. What's the big deal? Let's go.
He ended up finding his other hat, but come on, my man, mix in a hair tie or a scrunchie. You already got the super stylish guy across from you. There are ways to mitigate this that don't involve having to get involved with excrement, my guy. Just get another thing, bro. It's pretty simple.
What was Opelka's seed in the tournament?
Number two.
I had no idea.
Number two.
All right, Clinton Yates, Sarah Spain, done. Gutierrez, Isola. Last show of the week, showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our second bird story of the day. Seattle dropping Sue Bird would be back for another season, year 1941. But then it was deleted by the Storm. Sue had already retweeted it. What does an announced comeback but then delete mean, Israel?
I mean, it just means they got their timing wrong. It's just really cool that Sue Bird will be back for another year, also playing in the first year Climate Pledge Arena, which is the revamped Key Arena from before. So many memories, basketball memories. One more year of Sue Bird memories. Perfect.
Right, guys, Sola?
Sue Bird of Syosset and also Christ the King High School. If you're going to play at this age, like LeBron, like Tom Brady, you have to be physically fit and you have to be motivated. That's what Sue Bird is.
Sarah Spain was just telling us something during the commercial break. I'm going to bring her in here. Sarah, breaking news. Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. Well, the reason for this is because she's an unrestricted free agent. So technically, she can't negotiate till next week, and she can't sign till February 1st. So the Storm can't really say she's playing for them, even though we all know she is. Also, I think Izzy should get a point, I agree. Coming back and playing
in that. All right, you've been lambasted. We move on. Minnesota Wild, Matthew Boldy scoring the deciding goal in his NHL debut in Boston, where he grew up and went to college, and where his family's going nuts. What's the best part, Frank?
He's the last of the top 20 picks from the 2019 draft to make his debut. And to do it in your hometown, and you played at Boston College in front of your family, that's pretty special.
Israel?
Well, of course, it's the family react. Tony, and not to put too much pressure on you, but that's exactly how my family reacts every single time I win an Around the Horn episode. So they're sitting around the TV right now waiting to see which button.
As long as mom gets in the shot, you know? It needed mom. She waited as long as she could until she could. Israel, I can't do it. I can't. Point for a guy solo.
Ah, there we go.
Calm down.
2022, how about that? Perhaps one of the most horrifying images from last year, if everyone remembers, on June 12th, when Christian Eriksen of Denmark went down and suffered cardiac arrest on the field in front of a nationwide audience during the Euro Championship. Thankfully, he was revived after being unresponsive for a few moments. He did an interview this week where he said, yes, he feels better. He's starting to work. And guess what? With the World Cup in November in Qatar, he says, count me in. He'll be available to play. So this story has a happy ending. Good for you, Christian Eriksen. Stay well.
Sorry to the Gutierrez family, but, you know, celebrate secondly. All right.
They've done it 100-some-odd times.
You know, yesterday was National Bean Day and National Bird Day. Oddly, we had two bird stories today. Today is National Bobblehead Day, which is exactly what you guys are when you're, when we're on in the bar and people are just watching us go here. We're on a 71-and-a-half-hour break. We'll see you guys Monday. Israel, Happy New Year.
Rest in peace, Sidney Poitier.